Would you join me for just a moment in praying as we prepare to look at a few passages from God's Word? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Tonight we're welcoming the new year, 5774. Tell the person next to you, 5774. 5774. It's going to be a good year. As Sandy and I have been praying about this year, we've noticed something, that a number of important milestones and transformations, important events, have happened in the last 2 weeks that were unexpected. Both births and deaths, new businesses, new opportunities for people that they expected were going to happen after Rosh Hashanah, but these things have happened in the old year in order to mark a point of conclusion that God, who started something, is actually on the move and doing things quickly. We need to be ready for that. As I've heard testimonies of God's blessing and the way that he's working with people, it's produced a great sense of expectation for me. In fact, this afternoon I told Sandy, I find myself getting giddy, which is not my normal character. So if you see me in the next few weeks and I'm just smiling more than it looks like I should, it's because God's doing something. And I'm anticipating things, some of which I see clearly and some of which I don't even have a clue about, but I have this rising expectation that God is going to do amazing things in 5774. I'm glad 10 of you are looking forward to this new year. If you don't have enough enthusiasm to rouse yourself, I'll help you. This is a good time to look back, to think about the blessings that you have been given in the last 12 months. For many people, this has been a tough season. But in the midst of difficulty, God has been working in so many powerful ways. If you only focus on the difficulty, you will ignore the blessings that God has given you. And when you ignore the blessings, you know what? You not only weaken yourself, but you miss opportunities for future blessings too. Here are some examples of things that I know that some of you have celebrated. Your bat mitzvah. We had a double portion of Torah reading last Saturday and a double portion of bat mitzvah with twins celebrating. Fantastic. And Saturday, Liam Neels has his bar mitzvah. And so we've got three in a row in 1 2-week period. It's fantastic. Some of you have become parents. Who's here who's become a parent? Anyone? Yeah, all the parents of newborns. Yeah, you think they're here tonight? I don't think so. Some of you have gotten married. Some entered high school, some graduated from university, others entered grad school. Some are just right now going to college. They're in the first few days and weeks of their college experience. Some of you started new jobs. Let's see, how many of you started new jobs in the last 12 months? Good. And some of you retired or about to retire. Some of you moved into new houses or new apartments. Some of you got to see old friends you haven't seen in ages. Some of you started new businesses. Some have lost weight. Who's lost weight? Hallelujah. Some of you have overcome sickness or disease or been healed from an injury. You've survived a life-threatening illness. You've accomplished some goal or achievement. You started serving in a new ministry. Some of you became new believers. Some of you have taken on leadership responsibility. Some of you had conflict and you've been reconciled to other people. Some of you have made amends and things are getting fixed in your life. Some of you have just fixed something in your life that's been a problem for a long time and now it's fixed. Some of you found the woman or the man you want to spend your life with. Some of you are paying off debt. How many are paying off debt? Making progress. Building up your savings. Some of you have become a faithful tither. There have been so many experiences of blessing that we've had. In the midst of challenge, we need to give thanks to God for all those blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles. Miracle babies being conceived. When we begin a new year, we need to give thanks to God, and we need to thank Him for the blessings that come directly to us, but we also need to thank Him for the blessings that come to other people, to rejoice, because when God blesses someone else, it shows you how faithful He is. Don't have that "what about me" attitude. Give thanks to the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you. I know you love them and you love me because you don't have any partiality. You're a faithful God. You love all your children." Thank Him for the blessings that other people get. And there have been losses too. We've had deaths and funerals, miscarriages, broken relationships, job losses, financial setbacks. But we discover something in times of difficulty, and that is God's with us in those times too. He's not only with people who are going through easy times. He's with people in the hardest of times. He won't abandon you. He won't forsake you when you're facing challenges. He's faithful when you're doing well, and He's faithful when you're not. Well, I believe that this new year calls for decisiveness and determination. And for many of us, it's going to take more determination and more decisiveness in order to get the blessings that God has prepared. He's opening up things for you, but you're going to have to decide, yes, I'm going to go and do it. I'm going to take advantage of it. This is not a time to be double-minded, nor is it a time to be terrified to the point of paralysis. Let your caution be mixed with faith and optimism and hope that you would know that God is able to add to you, to do for you, what you can't do for yourself. So we're entering a new year with new opportunities and new challenges. He's going to bring us to new places. He's going to take us into new seasons. And at the same time, there are things that need to be completed. And we need to finish well what we start. We need to finish well so we can begin with power and with grace for all that's ahead. The end of one time is the beginning of another time. And they're connected. The faithfulness that you show as you bring an end to one season will prepare you for great blessing in the next season. Sometimes as people are ending and making transition, they just give up on the old stuff. Don't do that. Hold on to your faithfulness. Be wise. Be fruitful. So at the end, you can say to the Lord, "I took care of it to the very end." It can be exciting to enter into new seasons and new places, to have new opportunities. And as we're moving forward, we're going to discover that we don't have everything we need for what's been opened up to us. But we have unlimited resources from the Lord. His grace, His favor, His mercies poured out on us, His provision. And we're going to discover new ways that God provides to help us with our own limitations, our own needs. Some of you have opportunity right in front of you and you're saying to yourself, "I don't have what it takes." And you know what? That won't stop you if you draw close to God. If you press into Him and you say, "God, I don't have what it takes, but I know you have what it takes." He's going to give you what you need that you didn't have. He'll bring you people who will help you. He'll bring you power that you didn't have. He'll give you strength, insight, wisdom, victory. You'll be able to do things you never could have imagined. When you find out that you don't have what it takes, That's not a time to quit. That's a time to say, thank you, Lord, that you've got what it takes. I didn't have what it took to save myself, but you did what I couldn't do for me. With God, I want to remind you, you can always tell him the truth. That may not be the case with your best friends. With some people in your family, with people you work with, but with God, you can always tell them the truth. When you feel like you can't go on, tell him the honest truth and he'll help you. He will give you power you didn't have. If you just hold it in, you'll get stuck. When you feel like you have to give up, tell him that. He'll help you so you don't give up. When you don't know what to do and you're totally stuck and you don't have a clue, humble yourself and say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. Help me. I love what the scripture says. God gives wisdom without reproach to those who ask for it. When you say you don't know and you ask him for help, he'll never embarrass you about that. The only embarrassment comes when you think you know or you know you don't know and you pretend that you do. God's so gracious when we say, I am just so in need of you. He pours himself out and you can really count on him. You can talk to him. And I found this out. When you can't talk, you can pray silently. And I was remembering recently point in my life where I had to hear from God about my direction. And I was fasting and praying, and I took years of seeking the Lord, and I still hadn't received an answer. And one night, for no reason that I understand, well, actually, I understand a little bit. This was a little bit after that time I had prayed for God to show me what to do. And he said, I'm not going to show you because I told you 27 things you haven't done. And that was embarrassing. But I made a list, I started doing those 27 things, and it was after that, that on a certain evening, the Holy Spirit said to me, tomorrow morning I'll show you about your future, what you've been asking for. And so I was so excited, I told Sandy, the Lord just told me he's gonna show me this. And she said, and what if he doesn't? And that was a good question. That was a good question. And I said, well, he will. Well, I got up early that morning, that next morning, and I tried to pray out loud. I couldn't even make my mouth work. I couldn't speak. But you know what? My heart was praying. And that didn't stop me. I said, I'm going to pray anyway. I got out a notebook. I started writing my prayer. What I couldn't say, I wrote down. And I have this prayer from that time. And as I was writing, the Lord just came so close to me. It transformed me. And I'm not a person who cries a lot. And this was one of those moments when the Lord came into that room where I was. I just started crying. And tears rolled off my cheeks onto my written prayer. The ink ran, but you could still read it. And the Lord answered me and showed me what to do. And that moved us from the city we were in and changed my life. And so many wonderful things would not have happened in my life if I had not heard from the Lord that day. Maybe you want to talk to him, but you can't. So pray from your heart. Maybe you can't. So write your prayers. Do what you have to do to communicate to him. And if you can't even pray, if nothing comes, you're not stuck, get a Bible, open up to the book of Psalms and start reading until you find something that speaks about what you're going through and what you want to say. And when you get there, read it until you get power. Read it until you're able to press into God and don't give up. He will hear you and he will help you. I want to give you three scriptures that will help you for this period. Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the one who's high and lifted up. Say this with me. High and lifted up. Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. I dwell in the high and holy place, and I also dwell with the one who is contrite and lowly. Where does God live? In the high and holy place. But he comes down to be with those who are contrite and lowly. And he says, I come to them to revive the spirit of the lowly. Say that with me. Revive the spirit of the lowly. No matter how low you get, God's ready to revive you. He's ready to come to you. And he says, I will revive the heart of the contrite. I've seen people who are brokenhearted, and they get to that place where they're contrite too, and God revives them. When we're brokenhearted and proud and angry, we're not ready. But he who is high and lifted up is ready to come to the one who's low, who says, God, I need you. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I've done things. I need you. He'll come close to you. When you're in the valley, he'll be there with you. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. I love this one. I'm going to read it to you from sort of archaic English translation, because this is how I learned it. And when I was a new believer, this is how we sang it. I'm not going to sing it to you because you've already heard enough shofars and your ears may be hurting. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Say that with me. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Now, what is too hard for God? Nothing. Nothing is too difficult for you. When you start declaring that to the Lord, you know what? You start experiencing it. When you can't, he can. Nothing is too difficult for God. Then the last scripture, Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. I want you to say something to someone sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. God's looking for you. Tell them that. God's looking for you. His ears are listening to you. Tell them that. His ears are listening to you. And it goes on, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. When you cry out to him for help, you can be sure of this, he is listening. He loves you even before you figured out that he existed. He loved you even before you decided to pay attention to him. He loved you when you were indifferent or when you were hostile or when you were angry. So many times we've seen in our mercy ministries that people who for decades did not believe that there even was a God, they have a change of heart. They realize God is real. They see God's love expressed to them through other people. They see God at work in their lives, and they become convinced the Lord is real. And when they become convinced, they become bold. Your own pride may keep you from him, but he'll always come close to you when you open your heart to him. And when you seek him, even in your own brokenness, you may be wounded. You may have pains. People may have mistreated you. You may be carrying sensitivities because of that. And you may be in situations that touch those painful places. And when that happens, press into God. Don't get stuck in your habits and your patterns, the way you react, the self-defensiveness and the protection that you try to show yourself. Bring your wounds to God and say, heal me, Lord. If you've got bitterness, come to him. Humble yourself. If you're filled with anger, come to him. Humble yourself. If you've just given up on life, come back to him and humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to live. I want to live for you. God came down to us. You know why? Because we couldn't make it up to him. He humbled himself and he came down as a man so that he would know everything that we go through. And he became our sacrifice for our sins. He became our healer. He became our redeemer. He suffered so that we wouldn't. I love to tell Yeshua this. I couldn't make it without you. Lord, thank you for coming down. Thank you for living among us. Lord, we need you so much. We want to honor you tonight. Not only is this a new year, but we want to honor your authority. We want to honor your kingship. You are the creator, the maker, the one who we owe all to. Lord, we want to dedicate ourselves to you, that we would serve you this year and all the years of our lives. We want tonight to be a definitive night for us, that we put old things behind us and we moved into the newness of life that you have purchased for us through Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, that you can say to us, repent, turn away from all that sin, that life of sin, that rebellion. And you can say, believe me, trust me, and I will forgive you. Thank you, Lord, for your living word, which makes us alive. Thank you for Yeshua, who conquered death and the power of sin and rose from the dead, that we would know, and all history would know, and every tribe and every people and every age would know that you are Lord over all the earth. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. I want to invite our shofar team to come up for concluding shofar blowing. You can remain standing as they're coming forward. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. If you're alone, move so you can be standing with somebody else. Yivarachach Adonai v'yishmaracha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelacha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelacha v'yasam lacha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua. Amen.